think the best definition of character I ever heard, character is who we are when nobody's looking but God. And what we are in those private moments really define us in our public moments.
Are you a person of character? Find out more on today's Believer's Voice of Victory as Kenneth Copeland and his special guest share the need for integrity and character.
Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. I'll tell you what, I got an exciting surprise for you today, and all next week, you're going to really be glad you're here. Now, don't miss any of the broadcast all week long. Governor Mike Huckabee is here, and I'm telling you now, he's got some things to say, and you're going to be glad you heard him when he said them, too. Governor, thank you for coming.
Well, thank
you've
you, got
to be the busiest man in the world, and for you to take the time to come be on this broadcast is just an honor and a blessing.
Well, I needed the blessing, so that's why I'm here. And what a joy to be with you and Gloria. I thank you so much for the encouragement that you've brought to me, not just now, but through the years, and how God has used you to bring people to a point where they can trust God, believe God, and an honor to be with you today.
Thank you, Brother Mike. I appreciate that, man. Now, let me make something really, really clear here before we begin. Governor Huckabee is not here as a candidate. He's not here politically. He is on this broadcast as an ordained minister of the gospel. And we're going to be talking about the integrity of character. Now, I got that phrase from you 10 years ago when I read your book the first time, that character is the issue. And that phrase hit me, integrity of character. There are people that think they have character, but they don't have any standard to it, and so it doesn't have any integrity with it. And that's what I want us to really explore from the Word of God. So let's have a word of prayer and we get right into today's Bible lesson. Father, we just thank you and praise you for this broadcast. We open our hearts, we open our minds to receive revelation from heaven. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen.
If you have your Bibles there, I want you to turn with me to the 15th Psalm. And we'll read the first four verses there. Now, you remember, particularly when we studied together the 91st Psalm, dwelling in the secret place of the Most High, and it is so important that we're constantly, continually aware of that hidden place of the believer that lives and walks by faith, and God's Word is first place in his life. So now, in reading it, look at this. Lord, who shall abide in your tabernacle? Or who shall abide under your shadow? Who will abide in that secret place with you? Who shall dwell in your holy hill? He that walks uprightly and works righteousness, speaks the truth in his heart, he that backbiteth not with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor takes up a reproach against his neighbor, in whose eyes a vile person is contemned, but he honoreth them that fear the Lord, and he that sweareth to his own hurt and changes not. Now, that's in every estimation that I've been able to study and see over the years, that's God's definition of character. Hmm. A man that I don't care what circumstances you get him in, he's going to be like Jesus. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He's going to walk according to God's Word. And by doing that, he stays under God's shadow. He stays in that protected place, and he doesn't make himself vulnerable to the devil and all the stuff that he's trying to do to you. And there's what I wanted to get into here with you today, I made some notes from your book and some things that I really want to talk about. One thing you said on the third page of that book said, character equips us to face daunting challenges and to prevail over them, that it is the resolve to do right regardless of your circumstances.
I think the best definition of character I ever heard, character is who we are when nobody's looking but God. And what we are in those private moments really define us in our public moments. When we're put through the difficult and the unexpected, that's when our real character comes out. Because if I can prepare for something that's going to happen and I know exactly what's going to happen, I know the question that's going to be asked, I know the circumstances that are going to be presented, I can train for that. I can prepare for that. Character is what comes out of us when we're faced with the unexpected, when we're faced with what we didn't think was going to be asked of us, when we're confronted with the circumstances that we weren't expecting or prepared for. That's when we reach deep within us and we find out what we really are. Hmm. And that's why character becomes such an important part of what God wants to develop in us. He wants us to be as rock solid with the very Spirit of God that was Jesus. As you said, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Because if we are as changeable as our circumstances, then our circumstances are ruling over us. When we are unchanged, we can actually rule over our circumstances. God doesn't want the circumstances of the world to change us. He wants us to change the circumstances of the world. It's like, are we going to be thermometers or thermostats? A thermometer reads the temperature and can just simply reflect what it is. Thermostat adjusts the temperature. God has us on this planet not to be thermometers reflecting our culture, thermostats to change it, to be the constant and to move it to what it ought to be rather than to accept it for what it is.
Well, 1 Corinthians 4, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Mm. That's really what... faithfulness is the New Testament's word for character, I believe. Man found faithful. That means when you find him somewhere, he's faithful, even if he didn't know you were looking for him. He's faithful to God. He's faithful to the Word. He's faithful to his family. He's faithful to the standard of God. If the Lord will permit, I'd like for you to tell what happened when you were elected Lieutenant Governor of the state of Arkansas, and the things that... Now, first of all, those of you that are not from Arkansas, you don't understand what it means for a Republican to be elected lieutenant or elected anything else in the state of Arkansas. They got down there what they call a yellow dog Democrat, brother, and that, which means is they'd vote for a yellow dog as long as he's Democrat, and rather than to make any changes. And that's what's one of the things that's been so remarkable about God's calling and anointing on this man, and this was the key thing to me. Back when I first read his book, I heard a renowned politician make this statement. Character is no issue. If a man can do the job, then what difference does it make what his character is? And right after that, I read the governor's book on character is the issue. And man, it really became a study tool for me and really inspired me to get deeper into the subject of character with integrity. And I wish you'd take the time to show and share with us some of the things that got thrown at you, just unexpected bombs that just kept going off right in your face when you were elected that office.
Well, there were several. It was a stunning upset for me to win in a special election in July of 1993 when I became lieutenant governor. And when I got to the Capitol after being sworn in, I went to open the door to my office and I couldn't get it open. And one of the employees of the state capitol came over and rather sheepishly said, Mr. Huckabee, I need to tell you that that door has been nailed shut. I said, what? He said, from the inside.
You got to be kidding.
My door had been nailed shut from the inside. And I said, why? And they said, well, because they can't keep you from being here, but they can make you wish you hadn't come. So here it was. My door is nailed shut. The budget for my office had been depleted. All the furniture had been removed.
How'd you get in there?
Well, I didn't.
Or did you?
For 59 days, I didn't. I had a makeshift office in what had been a vault and a little bitty desk. By the way, since there was no furniture, we had to go to a local office supply and furniture store in North Little Rock, and they loaned us some furniture to use at the state capitol for my office. All the constitutional officers were assigned automobiles, and so I was given one. It was a 15-year-old Ford that had been in two wrecks, had a big crease down the passenger side. This was August. It had no air conditioning. I thought pretty soon, I don't think that'll probably work real well in August in Arkansas. But the door was nailed shut, sort of as just a way to say, this
Welcome.
Is how we feel about you being here. Well, it was kind of interesting because word got out and national media started hearing about it. A reporter from the Wall Street Journal named John Fund, people see him on Fox News and commentaries. Well, John was actually sent by the Wall Street Journal to come to Little Rock to see, was it true that the door was actually nailed shut, or was that some apocryphal story? And he came down and, much to his surprise, found out, yes, literally. It's kind of like, feel the nails in my door. and it just became such an outrageous thing that people in Arkansas, even people who never would have voted for me, started saying, you know, we didn't vote for this guy, but he won. Give him the office. And so finally, after 59 days, the nails came out, and I was able to go into the office. But it was kind of a rude awakening because there were people that were not exactly happy to see me. I'd get on an elevator, and people would get off. I'd go down the hall, and people would turn, look the other way. But I told the little staff that I had, because I didn't have much of a staff as lieutenant governor, I said, here's our deal. The meaner they are, the nicer we've got to be. The more belligerent people are going to be to us, the more cooperative we have to be with them. If we play their game, we can't win. What we have to do is to do whatever is necessary, but to answer a harsh answer with a soft answer, to try to return good for the evil. And God will honor that. And he did. And he did.
My goodness. How'd you learn how to do that? When did this first begin to develop?
Well, that's the Word of God. And, you know, you don't learn that from man. You learn that from God's Spirit. And you get it from the Word of God. For example, in Proverbs 15, chapter 15, verse 1, A soft answer turns away wrath, mm-hmm. but grievous words stir up anger. You learn that if you take the sword, you'll perish with the sword. Another way of saying it is you're going to fight by whatever sword you pick up. If your sword is a physical sword and you're going to hack people to death, just be prepared. That's the one they're going to use on you. So if you use spiritual swords, it's a whole different war that you're going to engage in. But through my life, I came to know Jesus at the age of 10. And from that point forward, I knew that there was a different way of looking at life and living life. And it was at age 15 that I first understood what it meant to be filled with the Spirit, what it meant to walk in the Spirit, what it meant to really understand what obedience means. And that was really brought to me by some people who discipled me. Every Wednesday night, a group of high school students from my hometown of Hope, Arkansas, would just share with us what it means, not just to get saved, go to church, go to heaven, because that's the only faith I knew early on in my life. Get saved, go to church, go to heaven. But it's really about walking with God, and it's about understanding that He owns me, that my life doesn't belong to me. If we're blood-bought, that means that every breath we take is a borrowed breath. It's a gift from God, and we have to look at our lives as a matter of what is it He wants me to do? Because after all, He's the master. I'm the servant. I'm not here to please me. I'm here to please Him. Brother Kenneth, my chief of staff, when I was governor for 10.5 years, had a wonderful statement. She used to say, when people would tell her, oh, you have a terribly, incredibly difficult job because you have all these people to satisfy. She said, oh, no, I have the easiest job in the world. I only have to satisfy one client. And I thought about that in relationship to my relationship to Jesus. I don't have to make everybody in the world happy. And as governor, I knew I couldn't. I'd make most people unhappy. I tell people I had to make 10 new friends every day because I'd lose 7 because something I said or did. So I'd never make everybody happy. The newspapers would be on me one day. Next day they'd like me, then they wouldn't like me. People that voted for me would get mad at me. I had to come to the conclusion that I only had one client. I had one person I had to please. When I laid my head on the pillow, I had to look to heaven and say, Lord, are you pleased? If you're pleased, then it doesn't matter what the cartoons show and the editorials say. It doesn't matter. Even if I get voted out of office, I'll never get voted out of heaven. That's going to be the one refuge I'm going to have. And once you come to that conviction, life gets a whole lot easier. You don't get up every morning and say, now, what do I need to believe today? You know what you believe. You know what your heart says.
Yeah.
And what's the worst thing that can happen to me? Getting thrown out of office? So, if I get elected to something, the most I can serve is a couple of terms, and then I'm going to get out anyway because the Constitution throws me out. I'm in Christ. I'm going to be in heaven for eternity, and nobody. There's no power on earth, no power under heaven that can ever throw me out. So once I've settled that, what's the worst thing? It's not that bad after all.
Yeah, and the devil ain't got a prayer. he's been defeated. And his future is really dark. But a few days ago, somebody was talking to me about, you know, the general world's idea about God, striking you dead and all that kind of stuff, which he doesn't do. And I was sitting there listening to all that, and I thought, well, now, what would happen if he did? And I thought, well, I'm in Christ Jesus. And to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. If he's to kill me, I'd still be standing there looking at him. I wouldn't go anywhere. I'd just be standing there looking at him. So that's how reassuring this gospel is, isn't it?
It is. The greatest joy of being a believer and knowing Christ is knowing that the worst thing that can possibly happen to me ultimately is my death. From an earthly perspective, it's the worst thing that can happen to me.
Yeah.
And it puts me instantly and immediately in the presence of the Lord from which I will never, ever leave. So you just want to say, devil, take your best shot, because your best shot can't do anything but just move me a little further.
Yeah.
Brother Kenneth, I had a pastor when I was a boy, and he used to make the statement. He said, son, don't worry when the devil's kicking you from behind, because it proves you're still out front.
Yeah, that's good. That's excellent. I want to get into a couple of things here that I'm really looking forward to hearing you talk about. If integrity and character are divorced from God, they don't make sense. Hmm. And this is not something that you just kind of pick up on. You have to develop character, don't you?
I think you do. The standards are there, but our adherence to those standards, that's what has to be trained and developed. And whether one's training as an athlete or training as a musician, there's a certain level of practice. And in the book of James chapter 1, when God's word says, it is the trying of your faith that works patience. The word patience comes from that Greek word that means to overcome, to be victorious. I used to try to make that a real hard verse. The trying of your faith works this victory. One day it occurred to me, what does it mean to try your faith? It means just what it says, to try it. And people say all the time, I tried tithing and it didn't work. Well, then try it again. But I've tried it 3 times. Then try it 4.
Yeah,
maybe 5. Maybe 100.
Keep on.
Keep trying. How does a musician learn to play the instrument? He tries. He doesn't do it very well the first time, but he keeps trying, and he keeps trying. And at one point, he gets where he can close his eyes without looking at the sheet of music and play the stars down. How did that happen? First time he picked up the instrument? No. He tried, and he tried. Faith And our sense of character is how we develop as we practice, as we practice God's word in our lives. And because of our old nature, we tend not to be perfect at it the first time we try it. And that's why when people say, I'm believing God for a miracle, and the next day they have doubt, believe it again today, and believe it the next day, and believe it the next day. And the practice, the trying of our faith is what works victory in us. And then that's how we cross the finish line with our hands held high, and God is there to meet us at the finish line.
Praise God. Well, let's go over there to the book of James. There's something else there that goes right into this, in that first chapter that you just mentioned. Talking about the wisdom of God. Mm-hmm. In the fourth verse, let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Mm-hmm. Now, that goes right along with what you're saying. When you just stay with it. You just stay with it. And keep putting forth the effort. Keep getting up. Just keep going towards God. Mm-hmm. He's not going to leave you.
Never leave you.
No. He's not going to forsake you. He just keep going right towards Him. There, as you're developing patience, which is part of the fruit of the Spirit, mm-hmm. actually character is the development of the fruit of the Spirit, isn't it?
It is.
That's really what that is. So you're developing something here, and as you develop patience, you're going to come out wanting nothing in this thing. It's going to be victorious for you all the way. But what occurred to me, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. It shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavers is like the wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. Let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable. Hmm. Now, that's the verse that hit my thinking when you were talking about that. A person of character is not double-minded. He has come to the place where he has received God's word as first place in his life. Mm. Not something he's trying to attain or something he's trying to do. It's not something that he's doing all this other. That's something he has set as his standard, and he's not going to change even if it hurts. Mm. Isn't that what...
That's exactly what it means. Yes, sir. That's what it means.
He's there. Not an unstable thinker.
If we have duplicity, this idea that some things are right today, but they may be wrong tomorrow, by violating that standard, by not understanding that with God there are absolutes, things that are always right, things that are always wrong, that gives us that polarity between the absolutes of truth and lie in which we have to live. And as we move toward the truth, we then have life, we have character, and we're moving where God wants us to go. But we can move off of it, and both can't be operative in the same person. We have to make choices. There is a line. We are on one side or the other.
We're out of time. My goodness. Brother Huckabee and I will be back in just a moment.
For every individual, family, community, and country, there are defining moments. And in these moments, character is always the issue. In his book, Character is the Issue, Mike Huckabee, the Honorable Governor of the State of Arkansas, shares a contemporary memoir that underscores the power of honor, faith, and integrity. Character is the Issue is the compelling story of a pivotal moment in history when integrity and faith determined response in the midst of trial and defined the future. This book provides everyone who reads it with a clear picture of how a person of character responds under pressure. Character is the Issue is a must-read story for our age, an eloquent testimony of what integrity can accomplish in communities around the world. It will inspire you and remind everyone that character is always an issue. To request your copy of Character is the Issue, log on to our website at kcm.org and order online. The cost for this essential book by Governor Mike Huckabee is only $11.99. To request your copy by phone, call us toll-free, 800-575-4455. Or you may write to us at Kenneth Copeland, Fort Worth, Texas, 76192. Learn the importance of living your life with integrity. Order your copy of Character is the Issue by Governor Mike Huckabee today.
As I said earlier in the broadcast, this book that the governor wrote about 10 years ago, Character is the Issue, is one of my favorite books, not just because I enjoyed reading, which I do, because I've admired him for many years, and it really blessed me. But it was a book that sowed a seed of fire inside me concerning the integrity of character, and it got me into an area where, after I got through reading his book, I got over into this book, and I've been studying on character and its integrity and how it works and how to develop it ever since. And it really has been a help to me. So do whatever you need to do. Use the information there on your screen. You need to get a hold of this book. It needs not only to be part of your library, but everybody in the family really ought to read this, because there's some other things that happened to him that, oh my goodness, I'll tell you what. I just have to be frank with you. You were a whole lot further ahead on character than I would have been. I mean, I'd have wanted to spank somebody for some of the things that happened.
I didn't want to do it. I just was restrained by the Spirit of God. And you know, it was so often things were done to try to trip me up or to upend me. But I felt over and over, like Joseph in Genesis 50, what was intended for evil, God used for good.
It just turned it completely around, didn't it?
God does
that. I know
that,
beyond any shadow of a doubt, the way the Lord led you through, particularly those first tough deals, was the thing that caused you to be the first Republican to ever be elected to two terms in the state of Arkansas. It was because of that, but you developed it before you got there. You never would have developed it under that kind of fire. That's the thing that this really impressed me about. Listen, get online, find out about it. We got a bunch of dynamite meetings coming up that you want to be in and be a part of. We want you to be here all next week. The governor and I are going to be talking about some really, really good things from God's Word. Until then, this is Kenneth Copeland and Governor Mike Huckabee reminding you again that Jesus is Lord.
Thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory. To order a copy of this broadcast or today's product offer, visit our website at kcm.org or call toll-free 800-575-4455. Make the decision to walk in love and live by faith. This is the year of the open door, and the blessing is yours.